broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt continues now. This is the broadcast for July the 21st in the year of our Lord, 2018. Hour two at two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Hour one, we had on our guests Eddie Miller and Matt Goodwin, and they remain with us for hour two. U.S. media claims Trump betrayed America with his meeting with Vladimir Putin, but voters believe otherwise. Amen to that. I believe dialogue is a good thing, folks, and I believe the Democrats, the Democratic Socialists, becoming one and the same, by the way, rapidly, they're wrong on this, folks, and they used to call us isolationists because we stood for America. Now I'm going to call them isolationists because they don't even want to have Donald meet with the Russian leader. What's up with that? These people are crazy. All right, Mexico interferes in our elections more successfully than Russia. That's a Tucker Carlson discussion point. He brought this up. He's getting beat up all over the news blogosphere, so to speak, over this. Let's talk to Eddie Miller first. I agree with Tucker Carlson. Mexico has been tampering with our elections. You got illegals voting. Donald Trump won the Electoral College, but he lost the popular vote. Donald claimed that it was because of this illegal contingent that all comes from Mexico. They mocked him and laughed at him and jeered, but the truth is, this is the double down. Did the Russians tamper with our elections? Well, they might have had some Facebook interaction and a few things. No one's saying they literally changed votes of any kind, though. That's not even an allegation. But illegal aliens voting in California and some of these states where we're starting to even lose white majority, so to speak, hey, they're tampering with elections big time. Tucker Carlson's right. Eddie.
He's partially right. Sam, but I submit to you, Sam, Mexico is not the chief problem. The chief problem of people interfering with our elections is the outlaw state of Israel. Israel and the Zionist Jews in Israel, they control all the money. They print the money through the Federal Reserve Banks of the United States, the central banks of the world, and they have bought our entire Congress and Senate. They even brag about this. They even brag about it. Pretty much the tail wagging the dog. The people here in the United States are going to come to heel when Israel comes a calling. Not one stinking politician in the United States Congress was going to ever defy Israel. They control all the media. They control you don't get if the politician tries to buck Israel, they're not going to get any news media at all.
Now let's break it down so people understand, because a lot of the Christians and biblical folks out there are going to go, wait a minute, what the heck is Eddie talking about? The answer is there's a difference between the deep state of Israel controlling the landscape of Zionism and abuse versus the biblical Israel of restoring people to their inheritance lands. There's a big difference in the two. And if you don't believe me, the USS Liberty being taken down proves the point. All right, so there you go. Matt, do you want to respond?
I think Eddie's spot on. The Zionist media, I'll say the Zionist media, let's say it that way. They pre-plan so much, and they actually try to – it's not just a narrative. They actually create events. That's the reality of quote-unquote fake news. Okay, they actually create it. When they set up Hillary for a perfect victory in 2016, and the last thing any of them imagined was that a man with populist rhetoric would actually pull off and win the election – and as a result, Antifa and all the left just went berserk after the election, after Trump became for the president of the United States. So the Zionist media is definitely stacking the deck against Trump. And so there's your collusion right there with tampering with our elections. I mean, all they have to do is try to create the president's position, who they want. They name the person they want, and they try to get them in there.
And I agree. It's important, though, to understand the biblical discussion of Israel and inheritance lands is so far from the media manipulations in the deep state of Israel, it's not funny. We need to make that very clear. And most folks fail to make that clear.
Yeah. I mean, also, you know, the very reality that they are the ones behind a lot of this illegal immigration to begin with. Here again, they're setting up the story. They are creating the events that happen.
Yeah, you're right about that. I agree. All right.
Anyway, you got to put the cart before the horse here, and let's say let's point fingers at who is really to blame.
All right. Let's move on to a different story, though. I find that interesting, and it's worth highlighting. But I think that Mexico is interfering with our elections, too. And we got to shut down foreign aid to all of them, if you want to really get my opinion. There you go. Tony Perkins is in the news. I don't know if you know, but he's the head of the Family Research Council, right? And Tony Perkins, on his Thursday broadcast, talked about the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, launched 25 years ago, that turned out to be a war on God and family. And he highlights this, and he's getting beat up all over the liberal news about this. What do you think? You were in the military, Eddie. Don't ask, don't tell scenario. Now it's turning into let's just promote the gay and lesbians everywhere. And if you speak out, you're a bigot mode. That's where we've come in the last 25 years. But I think Tony Perkins is right. The attack on the family is relentless.
Tony Perkins nailed it. And, you know, you're right. I was in the military. I was drafted. Didn't want to go, but I served my duty, served my tour. And I can tell you flat out, I've taken showers with 50, 75, 100, 200 guys at a time. Naked as a jaybird. Homosexuality will never, ever work in the military like that. It never. People might go back and say, well, it worked in the Greek army back under Alexander the Great. But Greek, you know, in Greek, their army, Alexander had homosexual units separated. Only homosexuals there in units. I don't know how well they performed in battle, but it would never, ever work in the United States military. I can vouch for that. I've been there, done it. I've seen it. It won't cut it. And the reason they're doing that, and I know I'm preaching to the preachers than you and Matt, but they're doing it, the people forcing this homosexual agenda from the Army, they're just using that as an experimental ground. The Army, the military has just become like another one of our social battlegrounds, you know, where they're trying to force their homosexual or godless agenda down on America. That's my view on the whole thing.
Matt?
Well, yeah, that's a checkoff on their list of marching through the institutions. And once they get in there, and let's say the government does unleash even more tyranny on the people, homosexuals want their contingent in there to unleash their tyranny on the people, the righteous people of this country. So here again, all this rhetoric about the government could send troops and fire on people or whatever. You know, the last thing we as patriotic, God-fearing Americans want is homosexuals with guns pointed at us. I mean, that's just my take on homosexuals in the military.
What I think they need to do is all the women that are the feminazis and all the gay and lesbians and bisexual and transgender and gender euphoric and whatever folks that want to, you know, upend God's law or God's guidance that there's a male and female and he created them. Okay, that's what it smacks of, taking on God's edict right from the beginning of the Old Testament. You know, God created the male and female, okay? It's in direct contradiction to that. But I say, why don't we just all sit home with our families and let these guys take the lead, these feminazi women and the gay and lesbians, let them all be on the front lines, man. I'm cool with that. We'll just kick back and let it happen.
Hey. I mean, if you ever talk to homosexuals in just public discourse, they're very unstable people. And the last thing I want is an unstable person holding a gun.
Yeah, but if they're going to go over there in Pakistan and Afghanistan, and we're in over 130 nations, militarily speaking, I'm all for those guys going and I stay home. Are you cool with that, Eddie?
I'm certainly cool with that, and I'll pitch in on something that Matt said. You know, there is no group of people more violent than the homosexual as a group, and I can speak with authority because I worked. I started my first duty. A lot of people might not know it. I'm a registered nurse. I started my first tour of duty after I got a nursing school at the Elvis Presley Memorial Trauma Center here in Memphis. They call it the Knife and Gun Club. And I witnessed this one homosexual murder and beating down one after another. I mean, and they were, you would not believe how violent they get with each other. But they're the most violent, hateful group of people you can ever imagine. So that, you know, the idea of them being peaceable and them being, suffering victimhood, That's just a crock. That's not true. They're extremely violent.
25 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, I warned against "Don't Ask, Don't Tell" under the Clinton administration. I said this is only the capitulation. Now it's the line we wish we could return to. Say the Republicans. I say it's a line we should have never even brought up and crossed. We should have said, "Wait a minute." But now we're way beyond that, sadly. But I want to talk about the military-industrial complex for a little bit, because there's a lot of stories relating to this, starting with the Tony Perkins articulating the abuse on the family as we promote war everywhere in the world. There's a headline that says that the United States releases $200 million in military aid to the Ukraine. And I've been saying forever that, you know what, we train and fund and arm the enemies. This is just proof. Even though Donald's talking about not wanting to go to war, Donald's actually increased war funding, training, and arming around the world under his administration. And I have to disagree with Donald Trump on this. But this is a significant issue. Let me give you a couple of quick headlines. We'll take a break and then come back and have Matt and Eddie break this down. But they say lobbyists are rejoicing as the U.S. sells more arms around the world in the first 6 months of 18 than total in 2017. And the U.S. releases $200 million in military aid to the Ukraine. Third headline, global war without oversight. U.S. special forces deployed to 133 countries in the first half of 2018 alone. Matt and Eddie's response in seconds.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, so I gave a bunch of headlines right before the pause. Bottom line is we've got more war going on under Trump. I agree with Trump on a lot of things. But this military-industrial complex has ratcheted up as Donald Trump surrounds himself with hawkish generals everywhere. And we've spent more money, more effort, more training, more arming, more funding of the enemy in the first half of 18 than we spent in 17 altogether. And it's nothing but increasing. We're in over 130 nations, militarily speaking, and growing. And this is a serious, serious concern. Let's start with Matt this time. Matt?
My answer to that is that's the federal policy since 1860, 101. I present to you a letter from Sherman to Lincoln on December 22nd. He said, when the Savannah fell, he said, "I beg to present you as a Christmas gift the city of Savannah with 150 heavy guns and plenty of ammunition and also about 25,000 bales of cotton." 25,000 bales of cotton. The war was about going in and taking gold, and that's what America's wars have all been about. Going, they send CIA operatives to find out where the money is, and they start subverting. Then come the troops, and then they come and take. And so that's the policy. So this is this shouldn't surprise us that they're building up the military-industrial complex. This is America 101.
Eddie.
Matt is spot on. I'd also like to point out that a lot of our patriotic people that they think they're doing their patriotic duty by joining the United States military, the United States military no longer takes its orders from the Congress or the president. I've heard Leon Panetta say himself in the four-star Air Force general when they were under grilling from the Congress, they responded to the Congress that, no, we do not take our orders from the president or the Congress anymore. If we wish to notify the Congress where we're going to go, what operation we're going to do, and to be polite, you know, to be courteous, we'll do that. But we don't have to. He said, we take our orders from NATO and to the United Nations. That's what Leon Panetta told the Congress. That's what the four-star Air Force general said. And I also like to point out that they're building, you know, that this is criminal what they're doing because they're, you know, going into Ukraine, trying to build Ukraine up against Russia. And the reason, I like to point this out, the reason that the globalists hate Russia so bad is because they kicked out, under Putin, he kicked out those Zionist bankers. He got rid of them. He went a long ways to getting rid of the central bank. I think they still have one central bank there, but he got rid of a lot of the bankers. He arrested them. Some of them fled. But that's the reason they hate Russia so bad. Incidentally, while we're on Russia, you know, another reason they hate Russia is because Russia has been under a great, they've gone under evangelistic, they're going back to Christianity. Under Putin, he's built, they say, over 60,000 Christian churches. He has outlawed the teaching of homosexuality, especially in the schools. He's outlawed all these homosexual networks, activities. He's even banning, vote. I know this may sound pretty simple, but he's banned vulgar language in the schools. They're encouraging people, white people in Russia, to have children. Hadn't been too long ago that they gave the workforces in Russia, they encouraged people to take off early, gave them a day off to go home and procreate with their husbands and their wives. That's why they hate Russia. That's because, you know what? The people that lead our country, they are predominantly homosexuals. They're pro homosexual. They're anything evil. That's why they hate Russia so bad. And yes, we have lost total control of our military. We don't have a United States military anymore. We have a world military. It's just another step toward the new world order.
We got to stand against it, ladies and gentlemen. We need to lead with the Prince of Peace. We need to lead with a moral example of, hey, we don't want these foreign entanglements. The founding fathers warned us against it. And that's what's happening here. Whenever we stand up for the supreme law of the land, it's Congress's responsibility to deal with war. And Congress has simply been sidelined in these discussions. And President Trump needs to back off and needs to bring our troops home. He talks that talk. He articulated that well on the campaign trail. But I'm not seeing it now, Matt.
No. No. You're not going to see that. No. We can't get back to our people, our land. That's not in the interest of the Zionist occupational government. So,
but I expected it from the Donald.
Yeah, that was his rhetoric, and that's they still is taking a lot of heat and hatred for that. But as of right now, we've not seen anything less than the typical Republican agenda from him. So I really hope that he listens to his constituency, the people that stood up to vote for him. I hope he backs down off the guns and gold policy and goes for the heart of the matters that we're dealing with.
I can tell you this, George Soros is even speaking out boldly these days. George Soros says that Barack Hussein Obama was his greatest disappointment as he continues to slam Donald Trump. Look at that, good old George of the news. Eddie?
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Why did he say that Barack Hussein Obama was his greatest disappointment? Did he say why?
Well, you got to push for socialism harder, my friend.
Well, I thought he pushed it just about as hard as you can push it without Obamacare. But you know, yeah, that's pushing it pretty daggum hard. But by the way, I know this is kind of off topic, but I'm having a ball being on the air with y'all today. That's for sure. You know, now Sam and Matt, now could Soros say he was disappointed because then did Obama kind of turn his back on Israel? I've heard pro and con on that. Some people said he turned his back on Israel. Some people say he didn't.
Let's just be clear about a couple of things. Number one, Barack Obama's involved with the Muslim Brotherhood to the eyeballs. And so that's kind of one of the big concerns. And how that relates to, on one hand, they claim that Barack Hussein's a Christian. On the other, you know, Jeremiah Wright, Christian-esque, so to speak. On the other hand, they say, look, this guy's a flat-out Muslim Brotherhood leader or liaison kind of a thing. And that's where kind of a lot of the rub is. You've got it, Eddie. Matt, what do you say to that?
I think Obama was a great politician out of Chicago with the Chicago politics and all. Including,
wow.
I think Soros was betting on the actual Civil War to start here, and I think that's why he funded him. So, his disappointment in Obama is that bullets didn't start flying over here.
All right, and what's funny is that some are now saying we got a new George Soros. He's founder and chairman of the Open Society Foundation, just so you know who he is. And, you know, he's really disappointed in Obama, they say. And I find that interesting, but they're saying it's a new George Soros. You might like the new George Soros better than the old George Soros, Eddie.
I don't think so.
Not.
I don't think so, fella. Yeah, the George Soros I know, by the way, a lot of people probably know that, you know, he was a teenager in World War II.
Yeah, sir.
And you know, he sold his own fellow Jewish people, supposedly, to the Nazi war machine, and later to the Russians.
That's right. All right, so George Soros is a bad guy, but here's what's fascinating. Here's what's really fascinating, okay? This is the Washington Times reporting this, and I've held off on telling you the reason that George Soros is frustrated, because I wanted to see what you guys would say first. However, here's what's interesting. Remember Barack's brother from Kenya, who wants to do a DNA test because he doesn't really believe Barack's even his half-brother, okay? You remember this guy?
Yes, I do.
And the story that Barack's brother tells is that, hey, during the election, Barack brought his brother and his Kenyan family over, and they had a love fest. But the second Barack got elected, he turned his back on his Kenyan brother. And so his Kenyan brother's like, I don't believe that was genuine. I don't believe he's even my brother, like I've been told. I want a DNA test to find out. And that was the story was broke on that by WorldNet Daily and others. We covered it at the time, big time. Anyway, I bring that all up because now George Soros says that Barack Obama closed the door on me after he was elected. Literally, George Soros is saying in an interview that he made a phone call thanking George Soros for his support. So they had an 8-minute phone call. But then, nothing. He wooed his supporters at the time, and then, hey, now George can't get a hold of the Barack. He literally put in over $25 million in the elections for Hillary. But the problem is he's really frustrated with Barack because Barack's turned his back on his former Kenyan brother and on George Soros. I want to get your take on that. It's kind of a strange Bruce story, but it's kind of fascinating to kind of get the inside details on that a little bit. Is that all true or is that political theater? Matt and Eddie will respond. Liberty Roundtable Live, folks.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Dad, can- Can you make him stop?
Honey, he needs to practice.
He's been at it an hour.
Well, just trying to be patient.
Dad, it sounds like a cat calling for help or something.
Worse, a basement full of cats.
Yeah.
You know, hon, it is a little hard on the ears.
Not you, too.
Well, maybe we can all play a game. Andrew, do you want to play a board game? How about we watch a video? Hide and seek? Oh, I don't know, I give up.
Maybe we could all just sneak out of the house.
Honey, he's 9 years old. We can't leave him home alone.
Man.
We can make him practice with a sock.
Well, I guess we'll have to get some ice cream.
Did I hear someone say ice cream?
Family, isn't it about time?
Oh, I see the practice hasn't hurt your ears.
Well, I'm a serious musician.
Funny that you never seem to get better on that thing.
Works every time.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Hey, where did all these cats come from?
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of 1-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, so it's kind of fascinating. George Soros says he's disappointed in Barack Hussein Obama because Barack turned his back on him after the election and closed the door to George Soros. Now, George Soros continues on in this Washington Times interview and says, I don't particularly want to be a Democrat, Mr. Soros told the Times. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. I believe what George Soros is saying is, hey, Barack didn't push for socialism hard enough, and I like the Bernie Sanders kind more. And I think what we're going to see is the eventual dissolving of the Democratic Party. The Republicans will take over the swamp and act like the good guys in the Hegelian dialectic, and the socialists and the Communist USA Party will be the next backing by George Soros and big money. What do you think, Eddie? Uh-oh, did we lose Eddie? What do you say, Matt?
Oh, well, I think we need a George Soros crybaby balloon. I think that's what's in order right now. It's kind of interesting to see the curtains pulled back on the bad relationships and the leftists, because they usually work together pretty well, unfortunately. I think you're right. I think George Soros was betting on the war to break out. I think he was betting on Obama to cause complete communistic takeover. And he didn't get his reward. He didn't get what he wanted.
Now, he says, I don't particularly want to be a Democrat. Do you think he just wants to promote flat-out communist part of USA socialism stuff? Akin to the, what do you say, Bernie Sanders and some of the, is that where he's going?
It seems to be what he's, what the groups he's funded, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, seems to be that way. Just an absolute anarchy. So.
Wow, it's hard to even fathom thinking that Brock didn't push hard enough. Brock got a lot of socialism done, but are they going to come out openly now? It's kind of the question. Are they just going to say, look, we're not getting it done fast enough under disguise. We got to go boldly. Eddie, did we lose you? All right, Matt, you respond to that. I'll get Eddie back.
I think in 2020, we can expect to see a lot more radical candidate come up. Soros is going to double down, and the whole Democratic Party is going to shift, like you said, the Hegelian dialectic. We're heading that direction where the Republicans are going to look more centered, and we already have the far right that makes Republicans look like liberal crazy. So,
go ahead. We have Eddie back. So the bottom line is I came out of the break, Eddie. Sorry we lost you. Saying that George Soros felt like Brock turned his back on him. And then what George Soros said is, I don't particularly want to be a Democrat. And so what I think that means is that what George Soros wants to do is, hey, let's not pretend we're Democrats, that we're kind of soft center guys. They're going to come out and promote the Democratic Socialists of America in bed with the Communist Party of USA, and that's where George is going to put his backing. And Brock just wasn't aggressive enough. He wasn't progressive enough. I think that's where George Soros is going with his rhetoric.
Also, Sam, another aspect there, another view is, see, George Soros is the ultimate globalist. All the globalists, they want a one-world bank, a one-world religion. That's the key. That's the key here. Barack Hussein Obama is a radical Islamist. He's a radical Muslim. The Muslims, they don't want this, the type of new world order that the globalists want. It would be okay with them as long as they have their radical Islamist agenda, as long as they can keep their radical Islamist religion. But in the globalist blueprint, there is no room for any type of nationalism, any type of religion. They want a one world religion. They can't cotton to no Christians or hardcore Christians or any hardcore Islamists. And that's why Barack has turned his back on the consummate globalist George Soros et al. Name your globalists. David Rockefeller, they all want the same thing. The Prince, you know, Prince Bernard of the Netherlands, they all want a one-world government, and that includes a one-world religion. They're not.
So the point is Brock too Muslim for George Soros' one-world religion, Matt?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Yeah, I think so. He was actually in the Middle East bowing down with the premiers over there. So, yeah, I think so. He also, when he came to my local town, he was dedicating a Muslim Brotherhood funded building. So that's where he decided to show up as president of the United States. So it's he's absolutely tied in to the neck with a Muslim Brotherhood. The other aspect of this is Eastern Europe is changing a lot of its ways. And George Soros is losing a lot of power over there. So he's probably going to double and triple down over here in America.
Very strange brew, I'll tell you what. But it's interesting to see George Soros openly go against Barack Obama now. And, hey, you know, these divides are, I think, are over what Eddie says. It's over, you know, the world's religion versus Muslim. It's over the kind of the blueprint for globalism. Hey, do you fall into the appropriate vision? And this is where Hillary and Bernie Sanders and this Cortez lady and the Communist Socialist Party USA and some of these people and the Democratic Socialists, and this is where they're all going to start to stand up, and we're going to start to see fractures in their organization as well. You know, they've been trying to create a global tyranny ever since Cain killed Abel, and they've never got it. And I submit they ain't going to get it, ladies and gentlemen, with folks like us standing up and Liberty Roundtable live at the helm and good people everywhere believing in Christ. They're not going to get it. They're not going to get their global tyranny. They're going to try hard. They're going to make life heck for us, that's for sure. But they're not going to get it, Eddie.
No, they're not. And you nailed us. You almost took the thunder out of my mouth. Yes, it absolutely. It started in the Garden of Eden. It's nothing new. It started with the Tower of Babel. It's been ever since we've had, you know, five people together, there's always been one person want to run the whole thing. And that's what we see right now. But you're right. You're right, Sam. And I know it's an overused cliche probably, but we've read the Bible. We've read the end Revelation. We know we win in the end. But you're absolutely right. We have to resist these people, though. We have to stand up and resist them with every legal means possible. And, you know, we have to do, and depending on legal, you know, it depends on who's lost. But you nailed it, though, Sam. It's nothing.
Let me give you an example to kind of illustrate the point that's crazy. The mainstream press is fomenting for this denial of God or this global religion of no religion, or, you know, as long as they take the resurrection out of Christ, they don't care what you do, right, so to speak. The bottom line, though, is this. Netflix is launching a new series. And they announced a new series about a 12-year-old boy reincarnated as Jesus. Think of that, Matt. Netflix has a new series, a 12-year-old boy reincarnated as Christ.
I think it's sacrilege. It's the Antichrist at its very least. But these people, these Zionists, they create this material and they try to stuff it down our throats. They put it on a lot of Netflix subscribers. It'll be their first thing in the list of things to pick from when they log on. And unfortunately, too many of our people are watching this kind of rubbish and not reading the scriptures. They're not getting into the meat of the gospel and actually finding out who Christ is. And many people get distracted with this stuff and follow these wayward paths. I've had a lot of people tell me pop culture religion. I'll start talking with them about religion. They'll tell me pop culture things that have come across TV. Okay, and folks, if you want to know what the scripture says, if you want to know the real Jesus, get into the Bible, the Holy Bible, read it, and know it.
Read it, pray about it, live it, the whole bit, ladies and gentlemen. The Prince of Peace is for reals. Anyway, I bring that up, though. It just shows what they're agitating for, Eddie.
You know, you're right, Sam. And we've said this many times, you and I, Sam. And Matt's right on board with us. Matt is he's a Bible scholar. But listen, it's like you said before, and you've heard me say it too, Sam. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We fight. It's battle. And I'm one of the first people to always forget that. I want to battle, battle, battle. But what it is, it's just like you said, Sam, ever since the Garden of Eden, when the serpent there, the old snake, it's been a battle of Christ versus Satan, a battle of good versus evil. It's never going to end. And that's where we are right now. And I tell you what, the evil people in the world are gaining the upper hand. And I've heard you say this a few, many times, Sam. And if we're ever going to turn this back, we're going to have to stand up and fight and do what's right. But if we don't bend our knees and get down on our knees and pray and return to God, turn for our wicked ways and repent and ask for forgiveness to get our land healed. And unless we're willing to do that, if we do not do that, we are not going to gain our land back. And I've told people I've lost.
All right, little pause back. I got a couple of stories as we round out the hour that you guys got to chat about. We'll do it in seconds. Sam, Eddie, and Matt Goodwin on your radio, folks.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense, as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, Sam Bushman, Eddie Miller, Matt Goodwin on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, the story's going to get crazier by the second. So there's this new brewing company, man. They're going to make beers. They're from Michigan. You know what I mean? And the problem is they were going to get their brewery off the ground, but they had some controversial name for their beers, man, and people freaked out, and they had to apologize, and I don't even know if they'll ever get their brewing company rolling, ladies and gentlemen. So if you needed to go get a job with this brewing company, good luck. But this Michigan Brewing Company, they got names for their beers. I'm going to share a couple of the names with you and get your comments, Eddie. First one's called White Guilt. You ready to go ahead and drink some White Guilt, Matt?
Oh, I don't have a bottle of that.
Hey, man, I don't drink beer, first of all. But I ain't drinking no White Guilt. I don't believe in White Guilt. I'm not responsible for any wrongs done by other people. I ain't doing that.
Hey, well, Sam, you can vouch for this. Matt may not know what we're talking about, but I ain't drinking my beer unless it comes out of a fruit jar. Sam can vouch for that. Can't you, Sam?
Yeah, the Bombardier's like Uncle Hiram in the basement, man. He's crazy.
Sam, see me do it.
Anyway, I bring this up, though. They literally wanted to launch a beer called White Guilt, and everybody started freaking out. Now, they have another beer. You might drink this, though. It's called Flint, Michigan Tap Water. I kid you not. This is serious stuff. Now, you ready for the third one?
Go ahead.
Black Beer Matters.
Oh, Lord. I've got to
talk
to that company.
Yeah, man. You going to drink Black Beer Matters, people?
I don't think I want any of those bottles.
That's going to be a collector's item, man.
I'm telling you, it's too much.
Lord have mercy.
It's too much. I mean, you know, you're going to drink, hey, go into the fridge. Honey, either get me a White Guilt or a Black Beer Matters, would you please?
Oh, Lord have mercy. Those people have an imagination. We've got to get a case of that. I tell you what, we got to support that brewery.
And I bring it up because it really highlights the absurdity and the psychotic reality in which the landscape of the media exists today. You know, Black Beer Matters, you know, hey, White Guilt Beer, folks, Michigan Tap. I mean, I'm just telling you right now, it's like homophobic ale. Okay, I mean, it's just nuts. Now, by the way, they don't have that one. I just made that one up. The other three, they literally say that they have or that they're going to be trying to launch. But I don't think this will ever get off the ground. They'll just call them bigots and racist and haters. And this brewing company will never get off the ground in Michigan, buddy, unless our good buddy Ted Nugent just jumps into the mix.
Well, I'll tell you what, if they have the guts to push that, I think it'll go. If they have the guts to push it, of course, they'll have to build a fortress around their brewery. That's a funny thing.
But you know what? They might be able to do, though. They might be able to just do Black Beer Matters and give all that to the black people that come and agitate and riot and everything else.
If they have homophobic ale, you can only drink it straight up.
Oh, man. Wow.
Oh,
it doesn't get better than that. Now, I don't know if you know what one of the latest rages is across America. Have you guys ever done this? They got these new companies or whatever, these new businesses or whatever you want to call them. And what they do is people go in there and throw axes and knives and stuff. Have you seen these companies?
No.
All right, they got one in my area called Fat Axe. I kid you not. It's called Fat Axe. This is not a joke. I went there with my family, man. My 9-year-old daughter was throwing axes. And we had an axe throwing competition. It was incredible. This is not a joke, people. I'm serious. And so we all went to Fat Axe for my birthday, man. I turned 51, and I took my whole family, man, all the married kids and the young kids and everybody to Fat Axe, buddy. And my wife was throwing axes. We had a great old time. Anyway, I bring this all up because
there, Ma.
The latest.
Are they near it? Are they?
No, this is a real business. People do this where you learn the art of knife throwing and things like this. It's not a joke, man. It's real. So anyway, the bottom line, though, is, and I won't participate in this. I'll go to the Fat Axe and throw axes and stuff, but I won't go. What these people do is they get drunk, and they go throw axes now. I'm serious. I think it's the most psychotic combination. So all I'm just telling you is just imagine going to, like, a Fat Axe and just having black beer matters and then throwing axes, man. I mean, it's just getting crazy in the Republic.
Yes, it is.
Anyway, I just thought I'd brief you on that. The brewing company's real. The three beers I mentioned, White Guilt, Flint, Michigan, Tap Water, and then Black Beer Matters, those are the three beers. Now, I'm the one that came up with the ale. I was just joking. That was just my, you know, homophobic ale kind of thing. But it is true. The Fat Axe stuff and these axe companies where you go throw axes and knives and stuff like that, it's a real pastime people are doing now. It's not a joke. It's real. And the other thing that's real is this. You know who Natalie Portman is, right?
Yep.
All right. Natalie Portman equates consuming meat to a Nazi-era atrocities. And so I just want you to tell you that I'm going to go out and have a big old fetching steak to celebrate right now, right after this show. I'm going to go out and eat steak and eggs and just commit Nazi atrocities while I eat my steak.
I think I'm going to eat me some fat puppies. If you ever eaten dogs, you'll never go back to beef. I'm telling you what. That's what I tell people when I'm walking in the park and stuff. I'll tell them, I'll say, man, you got some mighty good eating right there.
Hey, man, I'm telling you right now, we got a dog-eat-dog world out there. That's for sure. Wow. All I'm telling you, Matt, think about it, though. She says that eating meat is like Nazi-era atrocities. I mean, this is how unhinged these people have become.
Well, she doesn't mean about possum, does she?
She ain't never had roadkill, now has she? It's just, oh, hey, let me just, why don't you just go ahead and have some possum and a White Guilt beer and sit on down. Now, this is porch talking. RC and a moon pie.
Me and Matt had to cook him some possum.
Possum for dinner. Feed Natalie some possum. She might change her mind. But can you believe they're even saying this kind of stuff? Really? Seriously?
You just can't. I mean, you really can't cope with it. I can't cope with it. And you can't reason with those people. I mean, how can you sit down and have a reasonable, you know, logical dialogue with people that you can't? You know, before I shut up, I'll say just one thing. I go out there in Midtown, which is like Haight-Ashbury in Memphis, you know. When I see these people, they're protesting the power plants, their carbon footprints. I tell them, I'll pick up carbon footprints and sell them to Al Gore and make a big profit. I tell them that if they want to cure their carbon footprint problems, all they have to do is disconnect their utilities from the light gas water company. Cut your electricity off, cut your water off, cut your gas off. Just go outside and live under a bridge, man. But you got me going.
Turn off your air conditioning.
That's right. Just keep plugging.
If they won't turn off their air conditioning, I won't hear you.
No.
Buddy, it ain't for them. They preach it for he, not for thee kind of thing. Or for thee, not for them, right? I mean, it's, you know. These people are, I mean, it's like Al Gore running around in his plane telling me that I shouldn't be able to have another baby kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know, speaking of Al Gore, he lives right here. He's got a compound right here in Tennessee. Matt probably knows more about it than I do. But they say that his compound draws more utilities, more electricity, more power than any private residence in the state of Tennessee. I don't know how accurate that is, but he uses a powerful a lot.
Yeah, and to prove it's more than another doesn't matter. The fact that his footprint is mammoth and that they really believe it's for us, not for them idea. They're the saviors of the world designed to go ahead and save us from ourselves. Self-appointed, I might add. But this is the kind of stuff we're talking about. And I mean, this lady literally believes that, hey, if you eat meat, it's kind of like committing Nazi atrocities. I mean, these people are just that unhinged. And I'm just going to go eat a steak to celebrate. I'm going to skip the beers, though.
Well, I got a restaurant up in Maine. She can go eat some bugs at.
Well, you know, they're trying to create cockroach. What was that? They're trying to eat cockroaches now, too, man.
Man, I can't go that route. I can eat dogs, but I can't eat no cockroaches.
Hey, man, I've never eaten
roadkill.
I've never eaten a family dog. Now, Eddie, you're going too far. Matt, have you ever eaten dog?
Family dog.
Not that I'm aware of, no.
Well, hey, don't they do that over in Vietnam?
You got that right. You're in the wonderful area of Cambodia and Laos. Whether or not you knew exactly.
Is that where you got your sweet tooth from?
You got that right. I tell you what, you weren't always particular of what you ate. You didn't always know what you were eating because a lot of times you were in places where you weren't supposed to be legally, if you know what I mean.
And I think that's where doggone good came from, isn't it?
You on top of this, you're doggone right. I tell people, if you think
hey, man, eating, that's all pretty doggone good. Yeah, yes, it is, sir. You have no idea, right, do you?
You know, that's right. And that's where the term chow came from, you know, because the chow, they tell me the chow, the Chinese used to raise these dogs and eat. That's where the term, you know, eat, sit down and eat chow. I bet Matt knows about that.
Yeah, but so you're not allowed to do that in America. You're not allowed to eat a dog, are you? What if you just put out a big old sign, hey, dog tacos over here? And people would freak.
You know, I do that. I know you're going to be shocked, but I tell people that just to get it stirred up sometimes. You know, God forbid the media just stir anything up. But I see these people down in Midtown. That's another thing.
Why don't you tweet that out to Natalie? Just say, hey, it'll be doggone good. And you can just foment a big old, you know, Twitter war with Natalie over this thing. And she can say you're a Nazi and you can say it's doggone good. And you guys can just have a Twitter battle.
She would think I would be worse than a Nazi because you know, I've told Matt and James, I think I've told you too, Sam, but the people I have in Midtown, I'm always having like running battles with them. They have dogs and they're not dogs, they're dogs. Most of them are from up north, you know, Yankees. They have to be castrated before they can get them. There's a big industry down here now. They're selling rescue dogs. I told these people I'm going to start breeding these dogs and castrate them and sell them for rescue dogs. But they herd these dogs 2 and 3 and 4 at a time. Down here in Midtown when I'm running, I'll stop my running exercise, you know, program, and I'll tell them, hey, man, I'll eat dogs all day long, but I'll never eat a vegetable because if dogs can run away, they have a chance to get away. A dog, a deer, a cow, at least they can have a chance to get away. But a poor carrot, you take a carrot or a cabbage and you rip that sucker out of the ground by the roots. You can't tell me that carrot can't feel. Who are you, you arrogant mammal? How are you to cast judgment down and say it's better to eat vegetables? Who's going to stand up for the plant life? I'm standing up for plant life in America.
Now, let me just tell you right now, ladies, this is just a preview for the launch of the radio broadcast called Blood River that Eddie the Bombardier Miller and Matt Goodwin are going to co-host. We're going to syndicate it on Liberty News Radio. It's going to be right before the James Edwards broadcast, The Political Cesspool, every Saturday afternoon. And it's going to start in September 1st, maybe a little bit earlier. We're working on it. But I wanted to have these guys on to kind of highlight a little bit of some of the, what do you want to call it? Less than mainstream talk radio you're going to hear. The out-of-the-box thinking from these guys. Matt, let's give you a word, and then we'll give Eddie the last word on this. This is just a little teaser, if you will.
Well, folks, our people, the white people in this world, are under a genocidal attack, and our situation is serious. We have fun and stuff on the radio, but our situation really is serious and dire. Our brothers and sisters overseas and our brothers and sisters in this very country are suffering. And you'll hear this, many stories about this, and you'll hear many responses from us about what we can do about it. So tune in.
All right. And they are going to be live once in a while with armadillo tastings and stuff like that. So, you know.
That's front burner. Our opening show, armadillo and dog tasting. But, you know, but I'd like to say something about Matt. Sam, in the audience that are listening today, I think you will know. Well, I picked Matt. Out of all the people I know hundreds of people, but I picked Matt Goodwin as my right-hand man. Because not only is he brilliant, as he's proved himself on the show today, the man, he has all the intangibles. I don't know if you know it or not, Sam, but he's an Eagle Scout.
Hey, man, I'm an Eagle Scout, ladies and gentlemen. So are 3 out of my 4 boys. My fourth one's working on it right now.
Well, I'll tell you what. Matt could help tutor him because he is great at that. Let me say one more thing.
Wrap it up. We got to go.
The audience hadn't heard anything yet, but Sam, thank you so much because I tell you, Sam told me, I told Sam, I said, Sam, we're probably going to bring heat. Me and Matt are probably going to bring heat. Sam said, probably. Hell yes, you're going to bring the heat. I said, well,
I don't know if I can take the heat, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now. Hey, by the way, we declare, ladies and gentlemen, this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.